Will you hear the lesson of the morning as it is found in the third chapter of the prophecy of Habakkuk? A prayer of Habakkuk the prophet upon Shigionoth. O Lord, I have heard thy speech and was afraid. O Lord, revive thy work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make known in wrath, remember mercy. God came from Teman and the Holy One from Mount Paran. His glory covered the heavens and the earth was full of his praise. And his brightness was as the light. He had horns coming out of his hand and there was the hiding of his power. Before him went the pestilence and burning coals went forth at his feet. He stood and measured the earth. He beheld and drove asunder the nations. And the everlasting mountains were scattered. The perpetual hills did bow. His ways are everlasting. I saw the tents of Cushan in affliction, and the curtains of the land of Midian did tremble. Was the Lord displeased against the rivers? Was thine anger against the rivers? Was thy wrath against the sea? That thou didst ride upon thine horses and thy chariots of salvation. Thy bow was made quite naked according to the oaths of the tribes, even thy word. Thou didst cleave the earth with rivers. The mountains saw thee and they trembled. The overflowing of the water passed by. The deep uttered his voice and lifted up his hands on high. The sun and the moon stood still in their habitation. At the light of thine arrows they went, and at the shining of thy glittering spear. Thou didst march through the land in indignation. Thou didst thresh the heathen in anger. Thou wentest forth for the salvation of thy people, even for salvation with thine anointed. Thou woundedst the head out of the house of the wicked by discovering the foundations unto the neck. Thou didst strike through with his staves the head of his villages. They came out as a whirlwind to scatter me. Their rejoicing was to devour the poor secretly. Thou didst walk through the sea with thine horses, through the heap of great waters. When I heard, my belly trembled, my lips quivered at thy voice. Rottenness entered into my bones, and I trembled in myself. That I might rest in the day of trouble. When he cometh up unto the people, he will invade them with his troops. Although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, and the field shall yield no meat, the flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength, and he will make my feet like hinds' feet, and he will make me to walk upon mine high places. Here the lesson ends, and may there be added to its reading the grace of understanding and the gift of acceptance. God speaks to us in his word, and may we now speak with him in prayer. Almighty God, whose ways are everlasting, and who in each generation dost find thy spokesman, we thank thee for the prophets and for those of other years who yet speak to the prophets in our day. Grant, we pray, that we may hear this word of thine, that we may heed it, and that we may go forth strengthened to perform the tasks that thou hast committed to us in our day of opportunity. Let thy blessing abide upon this company of worshipers, upon all who are here, and upon all who are the concerns of those here. And beyond these, Lord, we pray for many others who stand today in particular need. some of whom are known unto us, and all of whom are known unto thee. Wilt thou give thy grace to those who bear the burden of guilt? Wilt thou give thy forgiveness to all of us who stand in need of it? Wilt thou give thy deliverance to us that we fail thee not in the time of testing? We pray in the strong name of Jesus Christ, thy Son, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Habakkuk lived in one of those twilight zones of human history. At the beginning of the 6th century, the great powers of Assyria and of the other nations had begun to wane, and Egypt and Babylon were contending for the position of world dominance. Habakkuk looked out upon his day, and in that twilight period in history, he raised a question that people in our day are raising. Why doesn't God do something? Why do the righteous suffer and the evil prosper? Why is an evil nation, the Chaldeans, that bitter and hasty nation, as Habakkuk spoke of it in the first chapter, why is this nation permitted to be raised up to chasten the people of God? O Lord, how long shall I cry unto you, and you will not hear, says Habakkuk? Why do you show me iniquity and look upon perverseness? God, why don't you do something? We're living in a day when people have proclaimed the death of God, and when there are those who feel that whatever is to be done about the human condition will have to be done by human beings. And I think that in this day we can gain a clue from Habakkuk of old as to what he found to be the answer to these perplexing questions, for which, of course, ultimately there is no logical answer. For it is in the third chapter, the chapter which I read a moment ago, which is indeed a psalm and a prayer, that Habakkuk finds the answer to his dilemma. He sees that the Lord God is active. He recalls his activity in history. He remembers his wrath. And then he prays, O Lord, I have heard thy speech and was afraid. O Lord, revive thy work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make known. In wrath, remember mercy. It is this prayer for revival that I think we need this day to consider. O Lord, revive thy work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make known. In wrath, remember mercy. If indeed we are to save ourselves by our own ingenuity, we have run out of gas by the most calculated estimates of the most secular minds among us. And I trust that the people who are called by God's own name will once again rediscover that transcendent dimension of our faith and realize that there are things that need doing that we can't do. And therefore, we must come with this prayer, O Lord, revive thy work in the midst of the year. As we turned a corner into the decade of the 70s, we were reminded in our own denomination that everything in our denomination is declining except giving and the ministry of music. in the decade of the 40s and in the decade of the 50s particularly, we perfected techniques which for a time seemed to be bringing us success. And we had our million more in 54, and we packed our pews, and we brought multitudes into our churches, only I fear in these days to discover that many of these have never had an encounter of God's grace in Jesus Christ. And now they are, in many instances, turning our churches into the voices which reflect the lords of culture rather than the Lord of the church. And there's nothing that can save us apart from a sincere prayer and its implementation. O Lord, revive thy work in the midst of the year. And I'm speaking this morning about the nitty-gritty of our involvement with the institutional church. This is no day to cop out on the church. This is a time for men to stand firm and to stand fast and to stand up and be counted in the name of the Lord Christ. There is a cliche which says that when the going gets tough, the tough get going. And some of us have interpreted that to mean that we tuck tail and run. But that's not it at all. When the going gets tough, the tough get going. That is, they dig in their heels and they stay. There may be times when you feel like the thing to do is to go. I ask you to reconsider that if that's your temptation and to perhaps come to the realization that what you need to do is not to go but to stay. This is not a day to cop out on the church. This is the day to try to make this prayer a reality. Why is this so? Well, I've indicated in one measure at least that we've run out of gas. I don't think we're going to be able to come up with the gimmicks that will get the job done. Bright as we are, innovative as we are, I don't think we're going to be able to do it. And so we're going to have to come back again to realize that it is not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. In another day, one of the great preachers was A.C. Dixon. At one time, he was the pastor of the First Baptist Church in Asheville, and later he went to be the pastor at Spurgeon's Tabernacle. And he used to say, when in our churches we depend upon money, we get what money can do. When we depend upon organization, we get what organization can do. And let me put a parenthesis here and say that neither money nor organization are to be despised. They are important. But A.C. Dixon said, when we depend upon prayer, we get what God can do. And I submit to you this morning that the need of the church in our time is for what God can do. We ought to pray this prayer because it is the redemptive intent of God that none should perish, but that all should come to repentance and to faith. It is the intent of God that through these earthen vessels in His church, that the elect people of God should declare forth His marvelous deeds in a day when people are estranged, alienated, yes, lost, without hope in this world or within the world which is to come. What kind of a revival do we need? I think Habakkuk gave us a clue here.
He had lived through the revival under Josiah. He had seen the mercy drops, but he was praying for showers of blessing. He was asking for a renewal of the Lord's work that would last. Lord, revive or renew thy work in the midst of the years. In the second chapter of this prophecy, Habakkuk looked out upon his own people and he pronounces a series of woes upon them. And notice how contemporary these are. Woe to him who heaps up what is not his own. Woe to him who gets evil gain for his house. Woe to him who builds a town with blood and founds a city on iniquity. Woe to him who makes his neighbors drunk. Woe to him who says to a wooden thing, "Awake, you are my God." In this kind of situation, we need a renewal of the work of God, which will come only from the Spirit of God. How? Over in 2 Chronicles 7:14, there is given an insight into how this can come about. If my people, who are called by my name, humble themselves and pray and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and heal their land. At this Lenten season, when in many of our churches there is some passing attention at least to the mood of repentance, here is an urgent word spoken to you and to me, to the likes of us. If my people, my own people, will humble themselves, and that ain't easy, and turn from their wicked ways and pray and seek my face, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. I don't need to debate with you, do I, that our land needs healing, that our sin needs forgiving, that we need to find, as Habakkuk spoke in these last verses, the joy of our salvation again, so that we don't go around demonstrating before the world that pious hypocrisy, that strength of grace is somehow measured by length of face, but that there shall be within us an effervescent joy, which, said Habakkuk, I will experience even though the fig tree does not blossom, even though the fruit fails in the vines, even though the labor of the olive fails and the fields yield no meat, even though the flock is cut off from the fold and there shall be no herd in the stalls, even though he sends leanness, yet will I rejoice in the Lord. I have a feeling, and I do not want to appear here as an apostle or a prophet of gloom and doom, but I have a feeling that there are some tough days ahead for Christianity, and that the days when we could report our numerical gains may have come for a time to an end. And this isn't a day to cop out. Is this a time when we can affirm that even though he sends leanness, even though we know no prosperity, yet we will rejoice? We will remain faithful because, as is perhaps the best known text in this prophecy of Habakkuk, the just shall live by faith. I dare you in Christ's name, let's give blood and brawn and brain and will to making this prayer a reality. O Lord, revive thy work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make known. In wrath, remember mercy. We're going to sing as a prayer hymn, Revive Us Again, number 205. And eternal God, wilt thou help us earnestly and sincerely to pray the prayer, O Lord, revive thy work in the midst of the years. And grant that each of us may see himself or herself as a part of this prayer and its answer, as we pray in Jesus' name.